Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Martin Luther once wisely said, "Wherever God's word is preached, heard, believed, received, and bears fruit, there the holy and precious cross will not also be far behind." For you see, man's wisdom is not God's wisdom, and God's wisdom is not man's wisdom. It is a higher wisdom, a wisdom of a holy word that's nailed to a holy cross. All you have to do is open up your Bible and read it. All you have to do is read the Old Testament and see how the prophets of Israel were treated. See how they were rejected and hated and beaten and imprisoned and killed. How the apostles, those who were sent ones with the mouth of Christ to the nations, how they fared in the world's court. See how they were silenced and ridiculed and martyred. For this is how it goes with us in the church. Jesus is confessed by Peter and the apostles to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And people believe. Lips move, tongues move, and ears hear and believe. And this enrages the world and enrages Satan and all his minions. For then it becomes quite clear why Jesus, to some extent, tells them to tell no one of this. For not only is it the messianic secret, but as Jesus will tell us elsewhere, his time had not yet come. So Jesus quietly pulls his disciples aside, and he begins to tell them what it will mean that they are to be his disciple, and that he is the Christ. He will suffer, he will be killed, and he will rise on the third day. This is of divine necessity. It must happen. It is necessary for God's justice and wrath against sin to be reconciled with his love for sinners. And this happens only on the cross of Christ. For there is no other way. But Peter cannot believe what he is hearing. And so he kind of loses it. In a sense, but no, Jesus, that cannot be, Jesus. The kingdom of God will be ushered in by a bloody death and a mysterious resurrection from an impenetrable grave. Why are you talking like this, Jesus? You are the Son of the living God. Certainly, you can do it some other way. Surely, you're not going to be crucified and die. And then finally the words, far be it from you, that this shall never happen to you. You and the cross will never meet. But you see, Peter's words came not from, as we heard last week, the revelation of the Father. These words came by his own flesh and blood, by his own carnal wisdom, by what he thought was the good thing. There was no command or contour of God's word to Peter's thoughts. And so, naturally then, Peter's intentions, while sincere, bubbled forth from a flesh that was given over to the tempter's forked tongue. If these good intentions are carried out, if Jesus follows Peter and not Peter Jesus, then these good intentions will lead to, as you know the saying, hell is paved with good intentions. It will lead us all to hell if Christ does not go to his cross. And so this is why Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." For what Peter is thinking are the very thoughts of Satan. You are a hindrance to me, Peter. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God. You are not thinking the things of God, but rather you have set your mind on the things of man. You are thinking the things of man. Jesus somewhat laments Peter after these 2 weeks of hearing him. Peter, when I put to you and everyone the question of who I was, you answered correctly that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now you hear that I am to suffer and to die and to rise on the third day, and you do not understand God's revelation, his wondrous plan, and you are falling away into your flesh and into your carnal wisdom, apart from the revelation of my Father. Far be it from me, Jesus says to Peter, essentially, I will never take your carnal wisdom over the will of my Father. I would rather lose you and everyone else that has been given to me than fail to obey my Father at his urging. For here, Peter, you are utterly devoid of wisdom and you do not understand what is being done through the Son of the living God, whom you have just confessed. You see, no person except Jesus Christ alone is to be trusted with one's salvation. Let the ear of man only listen to the word of God, and let all other things man be deaf to. Jesus will not be any other son than whom the Father has sent. And that Christ, this Son of the living God, must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer, he must die, and he must rise again. And so Jesus continues to catechize his disciples. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what would profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? These are deep words of God's wisdom. For us, it is easy that the words, Jesus Christ died for our sins, would slip off our lips. But given what Jesus has just said to you, what do you suppose it truly means that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you are now united unto him? Yes, it means the forgiveness of sins. Yes, it means eternal life. But I dare say that if this is merely an idea that crosses your mind as you cross through these narthex doors, or as you come to church on a Thursday night or a Sunday or any day of that matter, if it only occasionally occurs to you and it's only very little important to the life of the church and the life that you live out in the world, then really, what does it matter? For here, perhaps you, alongside of me, wonder, if we truly grasp the meaning of the cross and how opposite is unto the ways that we often think. Consider how contrary it is to everything that we hear and everything that we see and everything that we read and everything that we are exposed to, that Jesus says, deny yourself. Are you kidding me? Deny myself? Deny myself anything that I want? No way. I want to be who I want to be. I want to love myself. I want to fulfill all my potential. I want to be who I want to be. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want any restrictions. I don't want any rules. And I certainly don't want any responsibilities. I want everything that I want. And I don't want anyone to deny me of it. And if I'm in church, maybe, you know what? I want a genie in a bottle, Jesus. You know, I want him to promise me that happiness and success will come to me. And that I want no burdens, I want no pain, I want no suffering. I want a life that will smoothly fall down a path that sequentially fulfills all my dreams and all my desires. Man, is this young pastor idealistic? But you know, whether I'm young or old or middle-aged or whatever age I am, I truly believe that in our heart of hearts, we don't want the Jesus who suffers, who dies. Really, nobody does. Jesus says prior to his passion that when the shepherd is to be struck, who shall flee? All the sheep fled. They will all flee. They will all run to their own ways. None of us want to deny ourselves and suffer and take up this cross in a possibility that whatever is to come is not as good as what we can have now. We always want to jump over the cross into glory, into peace, into everlasting life. I get it. But in this creation, in this life with these bodies, that Jesus who knows no cross, that Jesus who would skip it for a crown that he already had, who promises some sort of pearly gates without this Golgotha's hill of his Father, that Jesus is not the Jesus of the Gospels of the New Testament. Who do people say that the Son of Man is again? Well, they say he's lots of things. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say he's one great religious man among men. Idol Jesuses, if you will, are everywhere. But who is Jesus? Who is the Christ, the Son of the living God? That Jesus is the one who indeed does suffer, who does die, and who does rise on the third day. And what is the cross, you ask? Well, it's humiliation and mockery and defeat. It's loss and it's loneliness and it's lamentation. It's suffering, it's sadness, and it's shame. And that is where Jesus went. And that is where his disciples must go if they are to be his church, his body. Here in this creation, the cross will always be apparent. Jesus, the Son, only thinks the thoughts of his Father and never the thoughts of man. For who would ever understand that God becomes flesh of a virgin who dies an inexplicable death and who rises shockingly on the third day? That is, the God who refuses to save his own life but instead loses it for your sake. Again, Luther notes that in this life, the church, where it's taught in its truth and purity, and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's command, will suffer under the sign of the Holy Cross. That is one of the marks of the church. We travel only knowing the destination. But the journey, you see, is laden with the cross, with the denial of self, with the things that are fastened to us by God in a communal and personal way, in a mysterious way to draw us unto him more closely. And we follow the Lord even as we are followed by his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love. And I suppose if we fail to get something that we have wanted, maybe it's because we bear on our brow and our forehead the cross of the crucified one. And maybe if we lose something, maybe it's because we bear our life in his bodies. And then if our life doesn't actually look like the life that we had hoped for, the life that we had wanted, or the life that we have dreamed for, then likely it's probably the evidence that you are not children of man, but you are children of God. And you who suffer the Holy Cross, do not lose sight of it as Peter did in this moment with Jesus. Of the truth that this Christ who suffered is the very Christ who was raised. The Father didn't save His Son from suffering. The Father didn't save His Son from shame. The Father didn't save His Son from dereliction and death. No, He saved Him by resurrecting Him from the dead, by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. You are the body of Christ, and attached to you is His ever-living head. It would be through cross and holy passion that St. Peter would finally come to believe and receive the confession that came forth from his own lips. And after Jesus was raised, He breathed upon Peter. He breathed upon him His Holy Spirit, and among all the apostles. And as you know, Peter preached only this Jesus crucified and risen on that great Pentecost day. And as you may well know, tradition has it that in 67 AD, in the place of Rome, St. Peter was martyred by this merciless Roman Emperor Nero. And he believed himself so unworthy of his Lord that he would not be crucified in the same way, but rather he was crucified upside down. He requested that, and his crucifers certainly obliged him. Our enduring mark of the faithful church is always that of the cross. But it is a cross that is promised with a crown. For we follow Christ, our Lord, in faith and love and in hope, firmly clinging to this word that gives us these gifts. And in our sufferings, we are undaunted. We are resolved to suffer these things, not just simply because we suffer, but because God has promised and He has shown that out of suffering He can bring great goodness, eternal goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen.